Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege that God has given us the fellowship one with another and given me the opportunity to go before his people and an opportunity for you all to join in the fellowship as we expound on the word of God together. I pray that everyone had a great week leading up to here and received the blessings that you were in need of and grew a little more in the grace of God, and God did the things that was necessary for you, for your going in and your coming out. I thank God. I thank you. And tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of Peter, 2 Peter to be exact. And we're going to expound on the verses in chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 8 and go to verse 18. I pray that everyone had a chance to read the entire chapter. And Peter only had 3 chapters, and maybe someone decided to go back to chapter 1, 2, and then expound on 3. The title of our lesson is called Christian Growth. You know, it's important that we realize that our Christian walk should be a walk of growing. You know, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were babes in Christ. The Bible says you can only drink milk, but once you receive more knowledge, you become mature. And as Paul said, you could begin to eat the meat. So it is important, and we have to realize that Christian growth is essential. Because when we first believed, it was without a lot of knowledge, with some understanding of truth about God. We joined him by faith, and then we began to grow in his grace and in his knowledge. So our lesson tonight is Christian growth, which is so important. I like to take time to say that, you know, if you see a child that's disabled, it may be a child that's 7 years old, but the child is not able to walk. It can only crawl. And you would think in your mind that there's something, you know, wrong with the child. Well, it's the same way with Christians. If a Christian been on a battlefield of the Lord for many, 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 many years, come on, y'all, and they still don't get it. Because you got to put the time in. You got to put the work in that you can grow. Growing in grace is one of the most important things that a Christian could do. We're being prepared in the kingdom of God here on earth. Without that growth, you can't be a kingdom builder. So Christian growth is important. And we're going to talk about it a little tonight. And I pray that we all realize where we are is not where we have to be. And how fast and how far we go depends on us. We have to put in the work. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And the song is called Grace. That's what the lesson is about, grace as well. And we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Title tonight, Growing Grace. God's grace is sufficient. At this time, we'll have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam. Your mic is open, and she's going to lead us to God's throne of grace where mercy could be found. We're going to enter his courts with thanksgiving and to his gates with praise. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. Sister Pam. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. First, giving praise, glory, and honor to the Holy Trinity. Thank you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, O Lord, for affording us this opportunity
to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Father God, we thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Continue to use her, oh God, in ways that only you can. Thank you for our Bible study, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for each and every person that's on the line and the internet and tonight. Father God, I pray that you continue to bless this Bible study. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And thank you, God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's time to go into the study. Someone told me a couple of weeks ago, towards the end of the year, I was doing the background on characters of the Bible, and then it became to New Year's, and I think I switched, and the person recognized it and say they were enjoying the background on the characters. And since we're in the book of Peter, I decided to do a background intro on Peter. So I'm going to talk about Peter for a little while, and then we're going to visit what he wrote. Look at the life of Peter as I read this, and then understand what Christian growth done for him. And that's why he was able to pen that verse, that chapter, because he had grown and matured in the things of God. So I say, when you read scriptures or study the Bible, you should act what God is saying to you. And why? You should also ask the question, who wrote it and why? And how can I apply it to my life? You see, the Bible is God himself talking to us, and he uses everything that he created to reveal what we should do or not to do. God gives examples so that we can gain and not lose by the mistakes of others. If you could see someone else's mistakes and don't do as they did, you would save yourself. Or you do see what they did that caused them destruction and you do it, well, destruction is there waiting for you. You see, when Peter wrote this book, 2 Peter, it was several years after he first encountered Jesus. This was the last known writing of Peter, and not long after he wrote it, he was marred for his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. You see, if we look at the life of Peter, we will recognize that Peter was enthusiastic. Peter was strong-willed. He was impulsive. And at times arrogant and sometimes cocky. I'm talking about Peter, y'all. But with all of his strength, Peter had several failures in life. You see, Peter was the one that rebuked Jesus when Jesus told the disciples that he would suffer, be killed, then crucified, but in 3 days he would rise. You see, when Jesus explained that to the disciples and Peter, they didn't quite fully understand it. And Peter said, I'm not even going to have that. You know, this is not going to happen, as if he was in control. You see, and he rebuked Jesus. Don't be saying that. Now, come on, y'all. Lean into his own understanding. You see, Peter was the one, if y'all remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus to bring him to his destiny. Peter took his sword and cut the soldier's ear off. Peter was the same one that when he asked Jesus to come and bid him into the water, he began to walk on water, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank. And the same Peter, because of fear, denied our Jesus 3 times. Come on, y'all. But through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime in our lives. But we must do like Peter did, fall down, get up, repent, and keep it moving. You see, by continuing to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter became matured. He kept putting in the work, y'all. He didn't give up, y'all. He had a desire to want to know more so he could please his master. And he became mature. And now if he looked back over his life, he realized many things. Because when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. When he cut the soldier's ear off, he now realized that the battle was not his. It belonged to the Lord. And when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he denied Jesus 3 times, it was because of fear. But through it all, the Lord who chose him before the foundation of the world continued to mold him into his intended purpose. You see, God is working things out together for our good. God is constantly arranging and rearranging us in the matters in our lives. God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And God is still working on us. We under construction. And I want to let you know tonight that you will be under construction until Jesus come back, that he will have the ability to make us perfect. So until then, continue, my sisters and brothers, to grow in the grace that God has given us. God gave us everything to be able to live a righteous life. He gave us all of the provisions, and he worked with us, and he said it's him that be able to get his pleasure out of us. We just have to cooperate. But you see, Peter now knows that God has not given him a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And if he had only held on to the confession of his faith, he wouldn't have made as many mistakes. That's a word for Peter, and that's a word for us tonight. Peter now understands Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." And this is the other point I need to make right now. The things that I described Peter earlier in this intro, God knew that Peter was hothead and he cursed a lot, and you know, he was bullish and he was cocky, and God knew that when he chose Peter. Come on, y'all. The word of God say, "Come as you are." God knows us where we are right now. But we all have the ability to grow and become better than we are now. God knew you, and he chose you. He chose you anyway, and he has an expected end for you. And it didn't change what God had for Peter. And God doesn't allow your past to dictate your future. God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in control, willing, and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We should be confident that he that begun a good work in us will perform it until the day that Jesus Christ come back. We see what the word of God, which gives us the knowledge of God, the grace of God, which is activated by faith in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, we see what it did for Peter. Peter kept growing in that grace. And even with his failures, he was able to write two letters in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter. And he had one of the greatest parts to play in the book of Acts. God didn't look at Peter in his shortcomings. God didn't look at Peter for where he was, but where he was gonna, what he was going to become. And that's how God looks at us. Remember, only the things that we do for Christ don't last. When we look at these scriptures that we're going to expound on tonight, several things are noted. We know that Peter's life will be short-lived because he expressed it in 1 Peter. Go back and read it if you like. Peter had got so strong, he wasn't letting nothing turn him around, holding on to the confession of his faith and speaking and witnessing about Jesus Christ with authority. And you know, back then they would kill you to get you out the way. And in the writing in this book, Peter is like telling us, please get it right for your sake so that you may have Christian growth. It should be our goal to be better tomorrow than we are today. If you take a look at the last 5 years in your life and with your walk with God, if you're still at the same level, if you're still at the same praising, if you're still at everything, that means in them 5 years you did not grow. Peter said, get it right for your sake. And that's a little thing about Peter. We're going into the scriptures in verse 8. Says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter's just telling you, look, God does not work on our timetable. Many times in the Old Testament, you would see the Christians saying, when is God coming back? You know, I'm sure Paul thought God, Jesus was going to come back in his time. Peter probably thought he was coming back. Jehovah's Witness said he was coming in 2000. They come up with these times to say when Jesus is coming back. But it's an appointed time, and no man know the time or the place or the hour. And we have to remember that. The Lord is 1,000 years. It's but a day. And since Jesus' birth, it's been over 2,000 years. So if you use that 1,000 as a day, we just 2 days, and it seemed like eternity for us. It seemed like such a long time, and people who making 70 and 80 and 90 and those that reach 100 years old, we look at them and say, golly, God don't operate in time as we do. But I want to let you know, he's not slack concerning his promises. God has an appointed time and appointed day and appointed season for appointed reason, that everything that he promised is going to come to pass. Some look at it and say slacking. But it's not slacking, but it is long-suffering. God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, y'all. We got to remember, before the foundation of the world, there are scriptures that talking about predetermination. Wait, there are some scriptures that talk about that everybody that's going to be saved already know they're going to be saved. That God predestined. There the word go. That is predestined by God. Then some of people take that and say, if it's already predestined, what difference do I make how I live? God didn't take and choose who would be saved and who would not be saved. But because he's omniscient, he knows who is going to accept his invitation and who won't. So there's still people that he knows going to accept. And the scripture says, he is not willing, he is not, it's his desire that no man should perish, but that they would come to repentance. He knows who's going to repent that's not repentant now. Come on, y'all. And he know who will never repent and accept his son. So God is not slack and he's not slow, but he has a master plan and his plan is going to be done. His master plan is his will and his will is his way and he is in control. And he said until it happened, he letting Jesus come back. But when he come back, we know everything is going to be fulfilled. And then verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Do you hear what Peter is talking about? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and goodliness? He said, this is going to happen. So you here living and you know that's the, you know, going to happen. How should you live? Verse 12 say, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of our Lord. Whereas the heaven shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, he said, you know, the Bible always tells us to don't place all our sights on the things of this world and the world's standard, which is classified as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, they had some people that live just for right here, right now. All of their actions and all of their goals and all of their... everything is about right here, right now, what they could see, touch, or feel. But you know, if we could see it, if we could touch it, you don't need faith. But you see, we walk by faith, not by sight in this world. And God don't want us to have tunnel vision on the things of this world. And it's good to live a good life. It's good to have. It's good to have money. It's good to have fine cars. It's good to have a nice house if you get it the right way. I got to throw in there. But the scripture is telling us all of that is going to pass away. Y'all know the old saying, when somebody died, there's no casket, no car filing a casket. It's going to come a day and a time when none of the things of this earth is going to matter. That's why scripture tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all things will be added unto us. Peter's saying, it ain't going to last, y'all. Everybody who put all of their sights on making money, like the parable that they had in the Bible where the man had a barn and he filled the barn. And I would imagine he was asking God, if I fill this barn, will you fill it for me? And everything will be all right. And after the barn was filled, he said, what am I going to do now? He could have given some to the poor. He could have sold it at a discount price, put it on sale, some of it. But what he did, he went and built another barn to fill it up. The spirit came to him and told him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. And everything you got, somebody else is going to enjoy. God said he'll open up windows and pour us out blessing. We won't have room enough to receive it. He's talking about here on earth. But you got to ask yourself, how much is enough and how much is too much? And the Bible teaches us it's never how much we gather, but it's how much we are willing to scatter. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spots and blameless. 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That should be our goal. That's what we should place our sights on. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you. He said, look, I'm not coming to give you no new doctrine. He said, I wrote these two letters. He said, Paul wrote 13. And the message is the same. He said, it ain't nothing new. And 16 said, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. He said, I know you don't understand it. You know, I have a lot of people say, Sister Diane, I try to read the Bible and I don't understand it. Just keep reading it. More understanding is going to come with the more you put in. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out. Which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Talking about someone who come and teach and preach another word, come and twist up the word of God, come to bring their ideas, thought, and philosophies to the word of God. And if you're not careful and they make it sound good, you believe it. That's why 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to stop. We have to stop going and get a little bit here and a little bit there. Or taking something that this one said and something that one said. And I see so many people and it be so cute and kicks. Say, my mama said, and they quote what their mama said, but it's not biblical. It might be a quote. It might be a saying. And they hold on to that and they teach that to their children. Come on, y'all. But we got to study for ourselves. That's what creates the Christian growth that we need. And if I talk about these scriptures just read for just a little while, Jesus is coming back. Yes, he is. No man knows the hour. Then the question was asked. The question that is asked. While you waiting for his return, what manner of person you ought to be? Jesus gave us some definition in another parable about the talent. He said, I'm going away, and he gave them talents. And he said to invest them until he come back. Y'all know he gave one five, one two, and one one. The five made five more. The two made two more. And the last one, he took and buried it. He didn't do anything with it. He told the first two that got more, that doubled it, that my servant, well done. The one who only got one, he took it away from him and gave it to the one that had five. What are we to do until Jesus come back? And I'll give this suggestion tonight that we should be growing in his grace and in his knowledge for our sake. See, I can't leave that out. Because you see, a person that doesn't study and maybe don't pray, but they accepted Christ along the way, they're going to be saved. And you study, 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 and you pray, 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 and you're going to be saved. But you see, we have to live in this earth. We're in this earth, but we're not of this earth. And see, that's why Peter said, for your sake. You see, when you got the word of God in you and you got it mapped down in you and you know no weapons form against you going to prosper and something come up your way and you could call that scripture out and you could be all right. Late in the midnight hour, you get a phone call at 3 in the morning and the person on the other end tell you ABC or whatever. And all you could do is say, I know my God, grace is sufficient. See, the growing ain't for God. God already know everything in the Holy Bible. He inspired the minds of men to write the different books in the Bible. Your studying the Word of God is not going to make God more God. And you're not studying the Word of God going to make him a lesser God. But it's for your sake. It's to strengthen you. It's to help to bring you over troubled waters. It's what's needed to restore your joy. It's what's needed to give you confidence. It allows you to know that God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's for us to know that God is our Father and we are his children. We became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. It allows us to know that God said nothing can pluck us out of his hand. And that when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to bring us and present us to the Father. And it should be our desire where God can say, good and faithful servant, well done. But this growing in grace is for you. This growing in grace is to strengthen you. This growing in grace is to help you along the way. This growing in grace is to give you the knowledge to tell someone else that's lost. Growing in grace is what allows you to pray for others, people, places, and things you don't even know. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Christian growth is for us. But you see, someone who don't grow, the Bible says that he'll be ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And a Christian can be called shorty. How you like that, Joe? And it's just a fact. They have the audacity to be talking loud and saying nothing. Just because we love the Lord doesn't exempt us from pain. But it's a part of his plan. And he uses it to mature us. You know, sometimes we're going through and all we could do is say, God, I know trouble don't last always. God, I know weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can you say it with confidence? And if you don't know it, you can't say it. Peter said, you're growing grace for your own self's sake. We should never stop growing in God's word, his will, and his work. Y'all, I come to tell you tonight, it's not a destination where you get there and stop. It's a process. And while we are alive, it's a life journey. We never get through learning, because some things in the Bible is not revealed unto us. You know how you read some things some years ago and now you're just not getting understanding. So some of the things we are reading now, you know, by and by we'll get a better understanding. But it's an individual thing. And I don't know about you, but I know one point in my life, I said, I'm saved, now what? You know, when we came up and gave the pastor our hand and gave God our heart, you know, and we could have been in a church where they wasn't teaching. We might have not been under good leadership. So now you're saved. Now what? Sometimes they go sit in a pew Sunday after Sunday. Nobody talk to them. Nobody do anything for them. And yes, they might go to Bible study. And they might learn a little bit more and more. But you see, that's the way it happens. And really and truly, God say if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, really and truly, y'all, everything going to be all right. And some people have a little more gumption in them. You know, they go to church and they go to Bible study and they maybe read their Bible back at home, or they read the book, or they read this. But he, you know, everybody is not like that. And God knows it. God don't expect your growth to happen like somebody else growth. You know, if he had a measuring stick, he didn't say everybody got to be at the point at 10 points at the same time. God knows everybody don't grow at the same time, and he didn't ask us to. But we all are asked to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. I come to tell you tonight, you'll never know who you are until you fully know and understand who your maker is. That's why there's so many people in the world today looking for love in all the wrong places. The more you know God, the more he reveals to you about you. Come on, y'all. Verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the errors of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. So you got to watch out. He goes on to say, without doing things that God has asked us to do, you could really fall from your own steadfastness. You know, you don't go to church for 6 weeks, and the seventh, it don't even matter to you. You don't pick up your Bible. You bring it to church with you and you leave it in the car on Sunday. When you get to church the next Sunday, you pull it out. He said, you got to watch that you don't fall from your own steadfastness. And verse 18 said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. He's telling us, since we know this, let's try not to be just hearers, but become doers. We have to stop allowing the word of God to get in our head and stay there. We must submit, obey, and learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit for illumination and revelation so that it will enter our heart. Change take place in the heart where the Holy Spirit dwells. What he's finally saying is, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Peter lets us know that it's all about growth. Christian growth is necessary for our walk with God. You know, they have some old people that I have come into contact with when I was teaching new members. And some of them don't realize that the first book in the Bible is Genesis and the last book is Revelation. And they've been a Christian on the battlefield. God has done his part by providing us with everything we will ever need to live a righteous life. God never asks us to do anything without providing first the evidence that it is true and then giving us the provisions to accomplish it. What God asks of you, he lets you see that it's true. And then he gives you the provisions to do. You see, growing is not as hard as you think. It's not as hard as you think. God will and is doing the work in you. Now, come on, y'all. How could we have anything better than that? Philippians 2 and 13 say, lets us know that, for it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do his good pleasures. And working out your own salvation does not mean you have to work to obtain salvation. You already have it by your faith in Christ. God is working in you to achieve his pleasures. You're not working to be saved. But if you are saved, you should be working because of the gift of salvation that has been given unto you. I come to tell you, once you receive salvation, it's not the end, but it's the beginning of a life journey. Some people only look at salvation for the hereafter. Salvation is taking place in your lives every day. The word salvation means to be saved, to be set apart. Come on, y'all. God is saving us daily. Every day we wake up again, it's all by his grace. To grow, we must continue in the things of God that is written in the word of God, our daily instructions for our daily living. We must not allow our flesh, which the Bible describes as the world views, to become our moral compass. We can't decide to do how we want. We can't expect God to do everything we want him to do as a microwave speed. We always want God to come to our, take our emergencies and make it his urgency. It's not fair. There's no quick fixes, no magic potion, no times out, no vacations, or leaves of absence. You have to do your part because you can bring the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. God is constantly doing everything for us. He has given us everything we need. You could take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Come on, y'all. Once you accept Christ as your Savior by faith, you receive the grace of God. Grace is God giving his greatest treasure to the least deserving, which is every one of us. We have to realize that we are in the world, but not of this world. When we came to Christ, just as we were all babes, and we needed to grow in the things of Christ and at some point become mature. I just want you to know tonight, y'all, it's a process. Some people believe it was a destination to be reached. And yes, there are people that believe they have reached their destination. But I come to tell you it's a process. And I want you to know that change is inevitable. Things change, people change, the world changes. God don't change, but things change, situations change, government change. Change is inevitable, but growth is an option. Growing in God and his knowledge is a choice, and it's up to you how far and fast you travel. You may know of God. I know so many people know of God. But to truly know God should be your goal. There's a difference in knowing of him and knowing him. But you got to put in the word. Studying the word of God gives you the confidence and assurance that if God is for you, who could be against you? And it lets us know that all things do work together for the good if we love him. Meditation on the word of God is where we receive the overflow. You have a thought of an overflow. So many people have never even thought about an overflow in God. But meditation on the word of God is where the overflow comes from. Praying is you talking to God. And studying the word of God allows God to speak to you. That's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you can speak them at this time. Growing in grace is for yourself's sake. That's what the scripture says, coming from Peter. Peter was all of that in a bowl of chips in the beginning. God didn't allow his past to dictate his future. And when they decided they was going to kill Peter, you know, all of the disciples was killed except John. John the Baptist was killed. Stephen was killed. Well, they call them martyrs if you got killed for your belief in Jesus Christ. So when they got ready to martyr Peter, Peter had matured so much. And maturity in God allows you to have reverence of God. Peter had matured and he had so much reverence for God that when they got ready to nail him to the cross, Peter asked, could he be placed upside down? He didn't feel himself worthy to hang on the cross as Jesus did. Your beginning has nothing to do where you end. It depends on you. And God is right there with open arms to bring you as fast and far as you want to go. But you got to trust him. You got to tell him have his way. Ha-ha. And he guarantees that he'll fix it for you. Any comments? If there's no comments at this time, we could have our benediction.
benediction tonight is going to be a repeat coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. It is my prayer that God bless each and every one of you real good and that he holds you in his unchanging hands and we all be able to come back next week at the same time where we explore the word of God together. Let us continue to grow in the things of God for our own self's sake. Amen and thank God. Good night, everybody. Be blessed. Mm-hmm.